in the battle of Lanka, you destroyed the ten-headed demon, Ravana, and distribute his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the ten directions headed by Indradev. This action was long desired by all of them who were very much harassed by this monster. So, from now until 6:30, we will be glorifying and discussing Sri Ramachandra, the first mantra that we chanted is taken from the Gita Govinda of Jayadeva Goswami. He enunciates 10 specific avatars or special descents of Krishna, because in each verse he says Keshava Dritta, pointing out whose incarnations these are. Just as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami lists 22 avatars. But after listing, he says, but these avatars are all plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of Krishna, who is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this Ram avatar is the seventh in this list of the 10 avatars of Jayadev Goswami. Tonight, I'm dedicating this class to someone who is right now listening and watching this class on the internet all the way in Panama. Her husband contacted me today, and they were telling me how much they like the facility we have here in New Dwarka. The classes are televised on the internet, and they very much appreciate. So I'm dedicating tonight's class to Manisha Sharma. May Krishna bless and protect her. So I tried to extract some nectar, amrita, because on festival days like today, the purpose is to become enlivened, to become enthused, to become more enthusiastic for what we call Krishna Bhakti, or loving devotional service to Krishna. And we've been chanting now all day, some of us. We've been chanting this name, Rama. Everyone say. Rama. So I found this very nice statement, which will give us, there's actually two nice statements. This one is from the Brihad Vishnu Sahasranam, the thousand names of God. Please repeat if you can. Rama Rameti Rameti. Rame Rame Mano Rame. Sahasra Namabis Tuyang. Rama Nama Vararane. So this is actually spoken by the greatest devotee of the Lord, Lord Shiva. Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. In the Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami, right at the very end, says that the greatest devotee of Lord Narayan, everyone please say, is Lord Shiva. And this statement of Lord Shiva to his wife proves it. First he addresses his wife as Varanana, O lovely faced woman. I chant the holy name of Rama. Everyone.
Rama.
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 Rama. And thus enjoy this beautiful sound. So those who have a taste for chanting, you should be like Lord Shiva. I enjoy this beautiful sound because spiritual life means enjoyment. Some people have a misconception. They shy away from spiritual life thinking, oh, it's simply penance, austerity, denial. No. I'm the biggest hedonist. I joined this movement to enjoy. I want to enjoy like Lord Shiva. He says, I enjoy this beautiful sound. Ram. Everyone say, Ram. This holy name of Ramachandra is equal to 1,000 holy names of Lord Vishnu. So, people may say, oh, I have this name for God, I have this name. That's fine. But the greatest devotee, Lord Shiva, says, you take 1,000 names of God, you get the same benefit by once uttering Rama. Everyone. Shortcut method. Alright, now, there is another, this is the Shata Nam Stotra, 100 names of Lord Ramachandra, found in the Padma Purana. Please repeat if you can, it's a simple sloka. Ramante yogino nante. Satyanande chid atmani. Iti Rama padena sau. Parang Brahma bibhidhiyate. Yeah, that last word was a little rough, even for me, and I have it looking right at it. Okay, please repeat. The Supreme Absolute Truth is called Rama because the transcendentalists take pleasure in the unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. So these two verses are very similar. That there is enjoyment on the spiritual, absolute, transcendental plane. Without the pleasure principle, no one would care to live. The difference is that materialistic enjoyment is limited and temporary. We all have that experience. Any materialistic pleasure we find, it may be very good, but it's limited and temporary. It comes and goes so very fast. But this name of Rama, everyone say.
Rama.
After all, we're the Sankirtan movement. My job is to get you to chant as much as possible. I'm your DJ here. Rama!
Rama.
Good, very good, class. So, this name of Rama, we just heard, unlimited. It's not, first of all, it's not a material sound. Lord Shiva, who is the husband of the material energy personified, could have any materialistic pleasure. It's right there at his disposal. She is willing to serve him immediately. In fact, there's one description where it is a special abode of Lord Shiva, Ilavrata Varsh. And Goddess Durga, his wife, has 10 billion maidservants serving Lord Shiva. He's the only male in the whole tract of land. And any male that enters that, Durga changes him into a woman. Because she's showing how she is chaste to him. And this happened. King Sudumna entered that forest, and with his horses and men, everyone turned into a woman. Even the horses, the male horses, changed into female horses. This description is there in 9th canto. So the point is, Lord Shiva could have any material opulence, but what does he prefer? No, let me sit underneath a tree Meditate on the Supreme Lord. And what did he say today to his wife? I chant this name, Rama, and derive spiritual pleasure. This is, at least for me, this is why I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Of course, the first reason was prasadam. But after that, the next thing was to enjoy, relish, spiritual, transcendental, absolute happiness from which you don't come down, which is not limited, which is not temporary. So that is a big thing, that chant the name of God and begin to get a taste. Once you get a taste for this chanting, you're home free. Prabhupada says, back home, back to Godhead. And getting a taste for this chanting is so important. There is a very nice prayer. Lord Chaitanya chanted this prayer 500 years ago when he was touring South India. Lord Chaitanya, after taking sannyas on the verge of his 25th birthday, after taking sannyas, he wanted to go to Vrindavan, but it wasn't possible. So he toured South India and preached this message of Krishna consciousness, chanting the names of God. And while he was walking throughout South India, he chanted this mantra. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Ahimam. Prabhupada writes that this is another way of chanting the Maha Mantra, or the great chanting for deliverance. We're calling out to Lord Ram, and we're asking Lord Ram, please protect me. And we're calling out to Krishna, please maintain me. So this is the Maha Mantra, calling out, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki. So, I have tried to get us now to a little more higher level. Because Lord Chaitanya says, everything depends on this hearing and chanting. If you want to get to the next level of your spiritual life, it all hinges upon nicely, properly, sincerely, with full attention, calling out, crying out to the Lord. Today, we're addressing the Lord in His particular incarnation, Lord Ramachandra. So when we chant, the chanting should be from the heart, because the whole process is based on love of God. And that is another big reason why I am who I am, why I do what I do, why I try to walk the walk and talk the talk, like they say in New York. To be a devotee means I want to learn how to develop love of God. And Lord Chaitanya says love of God is already there. It's in your heart. It's not something extraneous. It's already there. It just needs to be extracted. Just like I have my dhup incense. So the ability is there. I just simply have to light it, and the incense begins to give off. So the same way love of God is there, we simply have to ignite it. And that ignition is this hearing and chanting. So Prabhupada, our spiritual master, the founder Acharya of this movement, has indicated that besides chanting, there should also be some philosophy. That philosophy makes this a scientific movement. Science in this sense, that there are certain procedures, there are certain techniques, and there are certain understandings that by doing it, you're going to make that kind of advancement more quickly. So the science of God, the book is Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'd like to read one verse and a purport on Lord Ramachandra as given to us by our spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, without whom this temple would not be here, I would not be here, we would not be here, if Srila Prabhupada hadn't come in 1965, that wonderful day when he left India and came on the order of his spiritual master to spread love of God. So, there is a chapter in the first canto, and that chapter is called Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. So there's one line in this chapter that is, you can say, is the mission statement or the foundation of the entire 18,000 shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. Real easy. Everyone repeat. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Very good. You now understand Srimad Bhagavatam perfectly. Let's see if we can do the Sanskrit, because this is the advanced temple amongst so many temples. New Dwarka is supposed to be the advanced temple. So let's show Panama that we are. Haribol Panama. Please repeat. Nara Devatvam Apana. So far, so good. Surya Karya Chakirshaya. Samudra Nigrahadini. Chakre Viryanyata Param. Give yourselves a hand, you did pretty good. Come on. So this is Asuta Goswami, he's speaking this verse in a forest, the forest of Naimisharanya. This is about 5,000 years ago, less. And this is after Parikshit Maharaj has gone back to Godhead. And these sages of Naimisharanya have assembled, because they know the age of Kali has begun. The day Krishna ascended and left this planet and went back to his home, Kali Yuga began. What is Kali Yuga? You're experiencing it right now. The headlines. Bad news after bad news after bad news. Even today, bad news. Shooting rampage. So, as soon as you read the headlines, you get, at least I do, I get depressed. Because there's no good news. The good news, Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the good news. So Sutta Goswami was asked by these sages, because they're doing a sacrifice for 1,000 years. For what purpose? For us. So that we in Kali Yuga won't be so harassed. For 1,000 years they did sacrifice for our benefit. So Sutta Goswami was narrating to these sages the different avatars, as I mentioned, 22 avatars. So Sutta Goswami said, in the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama in order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods. He exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist king Ravan, who was on the other side of the sea. So it's a very quick synopsis of the Ram avatar, just as the first prayer we chanted, Jai Deva Goswami, was giving a very quick summary of the Ram avatar. There is so much to be said about Lord Ramachandra. There is the famous Ramayana, written by the sage Valmiki, who meditated for 60,000 years in order to present the narration, the Leela of Lord Ram. Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami, gives a very quick summary. In the 9th canto, Sukadeva Goswami only spends 2 chapters on Lord Ram, because he said to Parikshit that you already heard so much about Ram, so he just gave a very quick synopsis, 2 chapters only, whereas the Ramayana Valmiki is several books. Do you know how many verses in total in Ramayana? You might know that. No? Okay. I figured if anybody knows, it would be you. He's a great Sanskrit and Bhagavatam scholar. That's why I'm asking him. So Srila Prabhupada, in his books, he always explains to us what we are to glean, what we are to take, how we are to understand, how we are to appreciate. Prabhupada's purports are very, very special and very, very important. Prabhupada came to America and established this movement. One of the big purposes was to set up distribution of his books, which he felt, especially this Bhagavatam, he felt it as his personal life's ambition, mission, to present the Srimad Bhagavatam authoritatively, properly, not only in the English language. Now we have this Bhagavatam in so many dozens and dozens of languages. So Prabhupada, he calls these his emotional ecstasies. These purports are his emotional ecstasies. Srila Prabhupada was here in this temple, Los Angeles, and lived upstairs. He was here for several years. He was very fond of this temple. As you see, we're going to be celebrating 40 years, is it, of New Dwarka? Is that what it says? 40 years? Srila Prabhupada was very fond. This, back in the early 70s, he considered this temple his western headquarters. And from this temple, he established many new concepts and many new ideas from which the rest of the movement was to pick up. So he spent a lot of time here. And when he would write very early in the morning. He would get up 1-2 o'clock in the morning and begin. He would chant his japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And then take inspiration from Krishna in the heart, and he would reference from the commentaries of the previous acharyas, put that all together and make these beautiful Bhaktivedanta purports. Srila Prabhupada ki! So here's this purport. Now, Sutta Goswami points out that if you want to really taste Bhagavatam, then you have to hear with rapt attention. That's the secret of Bhagavatam. He said to the sages, I'm speaking to you, why? Because I was there when Shukadeva Goswami was speaking, and I heard with rapt attention, therefore that's why I'm speaking to you. So that's the secret, rapt attention. Srila Prabhupada writes, the personality of Godhead, Sri Ram, assumed the form of a human being and appeared on the earth for the purpose of doing some pleasing work for the demigods or the administrative personalities to maintain the order of the universe. Sometimes great demons and atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and many others become very famous due to advancing material civilization by the help of material science and other activities, but with a spirit of challenging the established order of the Lord. Elsewhere, Prabhupada says, there's nothing wrong with science, but this is the defect. When that science or materialistic advancement has the temperament of trying to challenge the authority of God, that is what makes it demoniac. But if the science or materialistic advancement is there to enhance the law and order of God, then it is okay. So this is an important point. For example, the attempt to fly to other planets by material means is a challenge to the established order. The conditions of each and every planet are different, and different classes of human beings are accommodated there for particular purposes mentioned in the codes of the Lord. But puffed up by tiny success in material advancement, sometimes the godless materialists challenge the existence of God. Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to deport ordinary men to the planet of Indra, heaven, by material means without consideration of the necessary qualifications. So here you see Ravana. He was the original, what is that? Illegal aliens. This is the founder acharya of the illegal immigration. They didn't have any qualifications. That's all right, let's go put them to heaven. No. You have to have the qualification. He wanted a staircase to be built up directly reaching the heavenly planet. So that's where they got that song, Stairway to Heaven. So see, everything's here from Bhagavatam. Everything is here. Prabhupada is the original. Should get credit on that record. Get some royalties. He wanted to build a staircase directly reaching the heavenly planet so that people might not be required to undergo the routine of pious work necessary to enter that planet. He also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. See, that is a demon. The demon's mentality is to defy God. The devotee's mentality is, let me surrender to God. Let me serve God. Let me be obedient. Prabhupada would speak on this sometimes, that he would say other religions or people say, oh, I love God. But Prabhupada said, no, first be obedient to God. Then you can talk about love of God. And so he would say, how can you talk about love of God when you're still killing animals to satisfy the belly? It's ludicrous. If you want love of God, there must be obedience. Thou shall not kill. Then we can talk about love of God. Just like a parent, anyone who's a parent. If your child says, I love you, but never does what you say, what kind of love is that? You want your child to do what you say. You love your child, you know what's best for your child. So you at least want your child to obey you for their own interest, not for yours. This is another point. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about surrender. So it's not that Krishna wants us to surrender because he's some big egomaniac and he just wants everyone to bow down to him. No, that's not the purpose. Krishna is happy. Just look on the altar. How happy does Krishna look with Srimati Radharani? Whether we surrender or not, she's still there. She ain't going nowhere. So when Krishna says to surrender, it is for our benefit. Out of compassion, out of love for us, he says, please, surrender. It's for your own good. Take shelter. It's for your own good. He doesn't force us. He doesn't make us. As soon as you say force or make, that's not love. Love has to be free. Has to be voluntary. So the demon is the one who defies, disobeys, rejects God. Ravana even challenged the authority of Sri Ram, the personality of Godhead, and he kidnapped his wife Sita. Of course, Lord Ram came to chastise this atheist, answering the prayer and desire of the demigods. He also took up the challenge of Ravana, and the complete activity is the subject matter of the Ramayana. Because Lord Ramachandra is the personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the materially advanced Ravana, could perform. Lord Ramachandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. And a few years ago, NASA took some pictures, and those pictures showed that there seems to be some kind of bridge that was underneath the water. And it clearly shows that, yes, this bridge is not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. I saw these pictures. How many also? I think many of you saw those pictures. It was a great boost to our faith. Oh my God, there's the bridge. It's there. Yes, Krishna consciousness sometimes is spooky. When you see how real it is, it's like, good. It is really real. It's not hocus pocus. It's not pie in the sky. All I know is, when I take nice prasadam, now I know Krishna consciousness is real. Modern scientists have done research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. But because weightlessness is the creation of the Lord, by which he can make the gigantic planets fly and float in the air, Ramachandra made the stones even within this earth to be weightless and prepared a stone bridge on the sea without any supporting pillar. That is the display of the power of God. So this story of Lord Ram, the Ramayana, there's one incident every year when this day comes I always meditate on this one incident. So, well, I've been silenced. Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan Ki. Let us all rise and worship the Supreme Lord.